Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. Proudly present, no borders, no race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
To all my bastards and wenches, and welcome to a very special episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, Evan Borgo, better known as your King, Baby Duck. This week's episode, we are going to be talking about anime in 2014. The good, the bad, and the god-awful ugliness of some of the series. And I've got a great panel of guests joining me here. First and foremost, we got from 42's Anime Reviews, Miss 42 Believer herself.
Hello, nice to meet you all.
Well, it's not the first time our listeners.
Not meet you, your listeners.
Well, I was about to say, this isn't the first time you've been on my show.
Hey, I know who you are, Sarah.
And I know then, where you live.
And then going into that is Andrew and Jonathan Fleming from Wicked Anime.
Yo.
Hello.
And then last but not least, we have from Scarlet Rhapsody, Scarlet and Jared.
Sup?
Hello.
How's it going?
Not bad. I have a nice, delicious cup of black tea.
It looks like you're sitting on the floor.
My insides feel warm while my outsides are freezing.
So guys, thank you again for joining me on this show. And to start off, before we even play the first song, I want to ask each of you guys your opinion on your grade for anime in 2014, going from A+ to F-. And I want to start with you, Sarah.
I thought anime was awesome this year. I don't know about y'all, but like this was a really strong year for me. I enjoyed a lot, so I'm going to go with a solid A on it.
Okay, nice. Andrew.
Me personally, I have to say, after looking at my list that I have sitting in front of me, I did not watch all that much anime this year, whether it was time restraints or how much I had to see. But the ones that I did watch were just out of this world and just the coolest stuff ever. So I'm going to give it a solid, solid 7 out of 3. What? No, I give it. I give it a B+.
Okay. B+. Jared.
Oh, I'm a curmudgeon. This year is made up with a bunch of sports animes I did not watch, a lot of highly anticipated titles I think weren't all that great, and more or less there's nothing for me this year other than one or two shows that I thought really stood out. So, oh, and even one show that really disappointed me halfway through, C-.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm going to have to give it, on my opinion, a B+. The year kind of started off slow with a couple minor hits. The spring really picked up with some great action comedy and drama series. And then the summertime, probably one of the best summers in anime since 2008. Some fantastic series coming out of the woodwork. And then the fall brought us two final, a couple more great gems. So a B+ on my end. Jonathan, what about you?
I actually watched a buttload of anime this year, or last year, rather. But I thought that it was great. There was a lot of stuff that I really enjoyed. There was a couple things that were really disappointing. Like Jared said, there were a couple anticipated ones. But I really like it when seasons have things that there's not too much that I'm looking for. One, so that I save the data on my phone. And two, so that I can keep up with all of it and I can really focus on watching one thing that I really like in particular. But yeah, I have to give it a pretty high mark this year too. I say B+.
All right, and finally, Scarlet.
That's a really good question. I would give it a B. There were some really good titles that came out this year and some hidden gems that no one really talks about that I was really into. But there were just, again, just some anticipated titles that I'm sure we'll talk about later on that just failed to deliver. But there were some pretty epic titles out there.
All right, so I would say maybe it sounds like we've got a bit of a B average from all of us, from Sarah's A to Jared's C minus. So I think that's a good range, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a decent decent B. A B is a good year, I say.
Yeah, yes. B is a good year. Much better than the drought we had from like 2009 and 2011, where there was so few and far between good there and any series to really talk about.
The Moe drought.
Oh, yes, the Moe drought.
So many harems. Hey, harems are great.
Well, harems are great if the story is great. If you just have a harem just for the sake of having boobs everywhere, then you just failed miserably. I'm sorry.
If it's Tenchi or Love Hina, I'm not in.
I just got my pre-orders, or not my pre-orders, but like my mail orders for season 1 and 2 of The World God Only Knows today.
Excellent.
Yeah, I watched it the whole way through. Best anime. One of the best animes I've ever seen. And I even read the manga because the anime finished up. And I was just like, this is driving me nuts.
All right. I'm glad that you say that you read the manga. Because if you go into the goddess's arc before you read the manga, it is going to confuse the hell out of you.
No, they actually catch you up pretty well in the series.
Yeah, but they left out a bunch of really important things.
They did. But after I did, I read the manga afterwards. Because I wanted the complete story. Like, I wanted the ending. And it was actually a happy ending. It was a happy ending anime! Don't worry, I'm writing a review on this. I'm writing a review, so.
Excellent. All right, so before we jump further into this, let's play a couple of tracks. And remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can find just about all these albums on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, your band's official site, and your local record store. And this week, we're going to be playing songs featured in anime in 2014. And the very first song I'm going to play is the end theme to the show, Engage to the Unidentified. This was a series that really surprised me, a very cute romantic comedy that had a nice big emphasis on comedy. Did any of you guys watch that one?
No.
Nope.
Well, Sentai Filmworks has it licensed. It's coming out next month, so that would be a good time to check it out. But if you don't want to spend the money, it's always on Crunchyroll.
Coolio.
All right, so the song, the end theme, performed by Haruko Terui, Eriko Matsui, and Yuri Yoshida, who are the three main seiyu in the show. The song is called Mashiro World.
I'm done. いから弾き出された。途方もなく細い針の上にいた。バランスを取る指の先が君に触れた。一人じゃないと分かった。僕らにただ一つ与えられてた。歪んだあなた。生まれてから死ぬまでに何をしたいって聞く。
Joining me once again are all my buddies from 42's Anime Reviews, Wicked Anime, and Scarlet Rhapsody. And right now, before we talk about the really good stuff, we have to talk about the bad, because what better way to talk about good stuff than to...
Give me the bad news first.
Yes, it's always the bad news. That's what I was trying to say. This is what happens when you don't go by a script. So, let's not talk about the really, really bad. Let's talk first about the most disappointing of 2014. And I want to start with you, Jonathan.
I have one. Pupa!
All right, yes. Pupa, very disappointing.
Well, I mean, first off, what we expected, when we saw the trailers, we were expecting some sort of horror cannibalistic incest show. And technically we got that, but when we got it, it was all completely censored. And, that's kind of like, that was, at the time when it came out, that was something that wasn't really expected, because in the past couple of years, we haven't gotten really gory shows. So we didn't expect what to see when we had really super violent shows. But on top of that, the whole thing with the monsters kind of turned me off. I kind of just wanted to see human beings being disgusting and despicable. You know what I mean?
Yes, well, I know. Not to mention, it was 3 minutes long each episode.
That's what I was just about to say.
Oh, I thought we knew that, though.
No, I know, but that was, like, part of the thing that was just... Because you can't have a horror anime in 3-minute segments.
I guess so. No, it's a comedy.
Now, here's the thing. I actually downloaded a version. Like, this is the only thing I'm gonna say it's that I will admit to downloading, because I just really don't think it's worth it at all. But I downloaded, somebody compiled all episodes together in one 30-minute show, every single episode uncensored. So I have 30 minutes of Pupa uncensored, just straight through.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it uncensored in 30 minutes straight through? Is it a better
response? I really don't understand why they censored anything. It's really not that bad. I mean, like, things, like, limbs getting cut off, it's not like they're showing the gore or anything like the way Elf and Lead used to be back in, you know, early 2000s and the late 90s. You know, it was just, you know, the red, showing red. You don't have just red under your skin. There's, like, bones and gross and I don't know.
So it kind of looked like what happens when you cut off the arms and legs of the Black Knight from Holy Grail.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And, like, the same thing, like, in episode one, where there's just, like, she, like, splits in half. Like, the sister splits in half and blood just shoots everywhere. That's all that happens. Like, underneath that huge black fog that just shows up is just you know, like, just a stream of blood shooting out everywhere. I don't know.
Maybe they tried to get a rise out of us by putting in the censor bars because they thought something worse was happening underneath, but...
That's how they get the Blu-ray money!
Yeah.
All right, Scarlet.
You really want to hear this?
Really? Come on, let's do it!
You really want to hear this?
Yeah, because I think I know what's coming.
Prepare the hate waterfall.
Okay. Sailor Moon Crystal. Done. Shots fired. You can reload both lines.
Now, I agree. That is probably the most disappointing series of the year. And let me just say, because, you know, it was supposed to be more faithful to the manga, but it turns out the manga is kind of boring in animated form.
Well, as it turns out, Naka Taguchi just isn't all that good of a writer. She's a great idea person, don't get me wrong, not that good of a writer.
She makes pretty artwork, but... I don't know, like, okay, so you can actually go to our website, scholarapsy.com, and I pretty much just outlined just everything that just went wrong with Sailor Moon Crystal. And essentially, long story short, like, yeah, I know it's not supposed to be a remake of the 90s. I know it's supposed to, like, just be a lot more condensed. Like, yeah, I get there's no filler, but at least in the 90s anime, that filler was fun. We got that fat cat that fell in love with Luna, but that was fun.
Not to mention you got great character development in the 90s version, too. This one, it's just like, who are these Sailor Senshi? Who are these villains? I don't care about them, really. Who gives a shit about them?
And the other thing is, I just don't like the fact that this inner senshis are on the ground for most of the time when they're fighting. Yes, we do get to see some awesome hand-to-hand combat. Yes, we do get to see some attacks, more attacks here and there, and it's not all stock footage, but, like, dude, these are, like, the gals that I admired as a kid. And even, like, in the cheese, that was the musicals and Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. And to see them on the freaking ground, just, like, oh my god.
Not to mention the animation is just really, really bad.
Yep. It's deviant art horrible, okay? It's like the worst deviant art pictures you've ever seen, and they put it in animation form.
I'm still on episode 7.
Even the Moon Pride video, I mean, that was really nicely animated. If they just had put as much effort as they did, like, and I know they are changing it for the Blu-rays, but I would have to rank the animation just, like, kind of low on my ranks of issues I have with Sailor Moon Crystal. It's just the storytelling from manga, because you got to understand that manga and anime are just two different visual medium forms. If you're just sticking too close to the manga, because don't get me wrong, the manga moves pretty fast. I was actually reading the second story arc that they're going to be doing for the next half of the series. That stuff moves like a mother. And sometimes you had to like just had to backtrack, like, oh, wait, so they're in this part right now and these characters aren't here. Like, one of Naoko Takeuchi's weaknesses is she doesn't quite know how to transition. And she writes death the way how J.K. Rowling wrote death in Deathly Hallows, if that makes any sense.
Well, like, you actually made another analogy when it came with Mamoru and Usagi, and I want you to say what it reminds you of, because I don't want to take that thunder away from you.
Oh, you really want me to go there?
Yes!
Sparkle, sparkle, Bella and Edward.
Whoa.
Yep. And I couldn't agree more with you on that one.
Damn!
let's just put it this way, and I'll just keep this short and sweet, because I know we have some other disappointments to talk about. Some. But you know, when you're a tween, you kind of have like pairings that you do like, and you don't quite understand why you do when you're older. Like when I was younger, and then when I was a teenager, like I liked the Phantom and Christine, and then I realized, oh, he's a stalker. Yeah, he wants to kill people. That's kind of bad. But then when you just kind of look at Usagi and Mamoru, especially in Crystal, and I could go on a longer rant on Usagi and Mamoru in the original 90s series and the issues there. Team Seiya! just looking at the way how Crystal does it, it just seems more like style over substance. There's not much development there. Like, yeah, we're together because we look pretty together. So sparkly.
All right.
I need a drink.
All right, Sarah.
I have two that really disappointed me.
Okay.
And the first one, I'll get the first one out of the way. Dramatical Murder.
That was on my list.
It's so bad. And the thing is that I have played the visual novel, so yes, I am coming from a context of the visual novel. But like, I understand that they tried their best to put as many of the roots in for the dudes as possible, but they did it so badly, and the animation is just, like, god-awful. So bad. The animation's so bad that the studio had to apologize for how bad it was. They had to apologize, okay?
See, I didn't know. I started watching the series, and I didn't know that it was a visual novel beforehand. But after watching like the first episode, I was kind of like, "What's going on here?"
Yeah.
Now, would you put it on par with the awfulness of Amnesia?
It's bad, but I think it's different from Amnesia bad. If we're going for Amnesia bad, that's Diabolik Lovers, which is my other one.
Oh, yeah.
Dramatical Murder is bad, and I watched every episode because, you know, I did like the visual novel. It's just, it's bad in a cheesy way that makes me laugh at it. Diabolik Lovers is just bad. Like, it's not even watchable bad.
Watch your 42 Things Wrong with Diabolik Lovers.
Yeah, yeah, that was fantastic.
It's just, the one that still gets me from Diabolik Lovers is one of the vampires, like, I'm thirsty. And she go gets him a coffee. Like, he's a vampire. He said he's thirsty, and you just get him coffee.
What? He's a hipster vampire.
I need free Wi-Fi.
So those
I want
the
my
two
blood with an espresso shot. Blah!
And mac and cheese.
From a dumpster.
Those were the two for me. It was Dramatical Murder and then Diabolik Lovers. Just, oh, so bad.
Okay, Andrew.
Now, this is going to be weird because I didn't watch too many that, like, if I wasn't interested in it, then I didn't watch it. So I had a really good run of, if I watched it, I liked it. But Pupil was on my list. Sailor Moon, I kind of felt... I guess I shouldn't really say I'm disappointed in Sailor Moon, only because I didn't finish watching it. Like I said, I'm only on episode 7 still. So I guess that could go into my disappointments of the year. Let's see. There are some... I just don't know if I want to say that one because I only watched one episode. Jonathan pointed at my thing, which was Supersonico.
Yeah, it's one of the things on the list.
So, and I pretty much know how much Evan hates Supersonico and how...
And I will get to that in a little bit. And
so it'll be fun.
look at what the listeners can't see this, but I have two stress balls in the hand right now, and I'm squeezing them as hard as I can because I'm preparing to rain a shitstorm on
them. You guys are so mean.
I know, yeah, and Sarah's the one that likes it. And like I said, I didn't watch enough of it to say like I hated it, but I just didn't continue watching it, so I consider that a disappointment of the year because it didn't go anywhere for me. Let's see, other shows that I fell off of recently. My Sister Is Unusual, which I made a Wicked Fast episode about. So I gave it a bad review, but I was like, but the art is like so adorable. It's such a filthy show, and I'm not gonna watch it because it's so filthy. But the art is so cute, you know.
The worst.
So. That's that. That was my list. Not really anything bad, not anything disappointing, just stuff that I didn't finish watching.
Okay, and finally, Jared.
Okay, well, since one of my... Yeah, screw it. So I was originally planning on doing like a top 5 things that pissed me off this year, and I realized there's only 2 that really stick out. So I'll throw out a couple of my throwaway ones. One... Supersonico, that's a throwaway one. That's in your court, man. We can all gang up and hate on that series together. 2, I can't believe there was another effing season of Yu-Gi-Oh! Stop this crap. Well, not just in the fated world, and everyone who likes this game needs to be consistently kicked in the gut until they say, I'm sorry, and then play Pokemon cards, because those are way better. Now, the 2 that really pissed me off, and my 3rd, it's a kind of an honorable mention for the bad ones, is Happiness Charge Pretty Cure did kind of piss me off with the love triangle stuff. I know you liked that series, Scarlett. And overall, it is a good series. It's just one aspect of it just kind of turned me off. So it shouldn't really be in my 5, but I couldn't find anything else that really pissed me off. My 2 big ones, of course, Sailor Moon Crystal. Really, God, we've already covered it. So whatever. My number 1 is a movie I was looking forward to.
Ooh.
Now, for those who don't know, I'm a bit of what they call an Idolmaster fan.
Oh, I want to watch Idolmaster. Like, I haven't started watching it yet.
The series is a lot of fun. The first episode's pretty bad. Like, I'm just going to say it outright. First episode of Idolmaster, not that good. But once you get into it and you get to learn the girls and go on the adventures, it's really fun. The ending's a little stupid, but what do you expect? It's an idol show. The spinoffs, Poochie Moss, is a lot of fun. I've seen a couple clips from the new one, the Cinderella Girls, but I just don't care about those characters. But the movie, oh God, the movie. It suffers from not ending syndrome. I hate when they just drag and drag. I'm like, get to the effing concert already. I watch this because I just want to see girls dance, sing some cute songs, and feel good about myself. So instead, it focuses on these background dancer characters who I don't even think are even in Cinderella Girls. They're just made up for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them has competence. Oh, by the way, these girls are also massively incompetent. For those who've seen the Idolmaster routines, a drunk 4-year-old could master these routines. They are not difficult. It's moving your arms and like turning around every once in a while. It's not the most difficult routines in the world to do. You had to be massively uncoordinated to not be able to pull off these routines properly.
So you have to be Kesha.
Yes.
Boom.
Shots fired.
And now this is the movie where they sang Go My Way with DMX, right?
DMX as like a special guest would have been a huge improvement.
Now wait a second. I think
it would be my number one series I liked.
There was a subplot where Miki's like, I'm going to LA, and producer's like, I'm gonna study business in LA. Let's go together. I'm like, oh, do we get to see like parodies of like Hollywood recording artists? Like the I'm just trying to think of, like, parody names.
They had all these
Lady Gugu.
One of the characters is going to go to New York. A couple of characters are going to go to America to, like, learn and expand their skills. You don't see any of that until the credits, and it's, like, a simple image.
The whole thing is Haruka and incompetent dancer talking about self-esteem issues. And I'm like, that's what I want in my idol anime. Oh, you really suck at dancing? Well, I wasn't that good either when I began. But of course, now I'm super popular and famous. But no, seriously, we can totally talk about your problems and help you out. I'm like, fire the bitch! Fire someone who can freaking dance! Yeah. How hard is that? Solution! Movie done! Let's sing some happy songs, have a fun concert section.
With special guest DMX. With
special guest DMX.
I think I threw that joke out prematurely.
If this was an OVA or an hour-long movie, I'd be able to forgive it. But it goes on for like 2 freaking hours. And I'm like, God!
What?
Can we focus on any of these other girls and their ambitions and actually make it a proper sequel to the series? No. No, we can't. We have to waste 2 hours of my time of two characters I don't particularly like talking about their self-esteem issues when I go, you know what? Here's a solution for not being a good dancer. Practice! How hard is that? You know how you get better as a musician? You practice. You know how you get better as a singer? You practice. You know how you get better as a dancer? Practice. Everything is freaking practice. Performance is practice, people. WTF.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Mike that leads us to worst anime of 2014. All right. All right. Let me see how much longer I can squeeze. All right. Screw it. Supersonico the animation. First and foremost, we got Supersonico as a character having no flaws whatsoever. There is no such thing as a flawless character ever. That is the first mistake you can make, and that's what makes it a terrible show to begin with. Second,
how about the fact that it's a whole marketing gimmick BS? Or
exactly.
Did I just...
And then you got the character, oh, she's quite the multitasker. She's a college student. She's a model. She's a musician. She's a waitress. It sounds awesome, but then when they show it, it's boring. Boring.
But didn't you see how hard they rocked out?
Which leads me to the fact that they desecrate the word rock and roll in this show. I'm sorry, but if you need female girls singing rock and roll, you have to have them doing like Joan Jett in the Black Heart styled rock and roll. You gotta have them do like Hunter Valentine. Hey, I would have settled for Haim or Haim. Is it Haim or Haim?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Those three sisters and such.
But, that's an Evan
but no,
question.
It's just shitty pop music.
Which isn't rock and roll at all. No. It should just be called pop idol.
Exactly.
Done. You instantly solve that with one specific change of phrase. Which is ironic, because if you go back to like Bubblegum Crisis, they talk about Pris being like a pop idol, but it's clearly rock. I'm like, Japan, understand what music genres are.
Exactly.
We have this great hip hop. It is done with a violin, a piano, and a drum. I go, that's called classical.
No. The Flowbots do that sometimes with their hip hop.
That's true. You can use classical stuff in hip hop. But what I mean is, if it was just, oh, here's our newest hip hop artist, Wagner. Listen to this opera he wrote. It is the greatest of all hip hop. And I'm like, come on, Japan. Seriously?
I can't defend it. I can't even defend it. Like, I know how terrible it is. I don't know.
But it's okay to like terrible animes. I mean, like this season, I mean, I'm watching Isekai. The reason why I'm watching Isekai is because I read the manga. I mean, it's an anime filled with appearing black bars, boobs, like weird sexual things, and I don't like those kinds of anime, but I read the manga.
Oh, and the
so
art is terrible.
Oh, it's done by ARMS. So get ready. I'm gonna have yet another review on Wicked Anime on another ARMS anime. But I'm watching it, and I'm enjoying it because I've read the manga.
What's Sonico? There is potential there for this to be a good show. Other idol series have proven you can make a good show out of it.
Yes.
But the problem is...
There's no story, and they need a better composer.
And then building around this whole thing is just a marketing gimmick for Sonico merch. That is all it is. And look, I'm fine with this cartoon sells toys, okay? I'm a kid of the 80s. I watched Transformers. I watched G.I. Joe. I watched Thundercats. Because of What's-His-Face, I have to say that.
See this? I'm holding a copy of the Lego movie. This is how you do a movie that's based on a marketing toy and do it right.
Yes. So it's not impossible to even do that right. But when you make it bland and then your products are kind of meh, like, how do you expect us to react? Do you expect us to be like, ooh, give me more. I am
I am weird, neat, who needs to have Super Sonico in his life? Or do you think all of us are just going to look at this and be completely offended at the kind of trash they want to sell us?
Thundercats is the best thing ever.
Just saying.
I don't know what the worst thing about this is, the fact that it either exists or that it's been licensed for American release for next month. Being voiced by a cosplayer.
Yeah.
Well, I get voice stuff now.
Yeah, because she did Ruby.
I'm holding no comment over that.
Silent.
Yeah, it went silent. That was weird. That holds no water.
All right, so Darren, would that also be your? Do you have a pick for worst on your end?
Oh, my worst is also the Idolmaster. Yeah, I did my list, and then Idolmaster would have been my absolute worst.
All right, Jonathan.
But you know what? Just to reiterate, F you, Yu-Gi-Oh! Stop making seasons of this crap.
It's really tough to pick a worst, honestly. I mean,
it's hard to follow up on one of my rants, isn't it?
There were a couple that were pretty bad. I mean, I fell off of Witchcraft Works pretty fast. Momokune Sword was really terrible. Room at the Rokujima, that one didn't hold anywhere. That one didn't go anywhere. And then Cross Ange was basically Orange is the New Black, set in the future where they fought dragons.
How is that a premise? Yeah. It's Orange is the New Black with dragons.
That sounds awesome.
The best show ever.
You gotta watch. I don't know
that
how to feel.
That sounds
about
amazing.
It. Honestly, that one's a real toss up. I don't know how to feel about that.
I'll put that together with Broken Blade as one of the things.
Sarah, what about you for worst anime of the year?
Worst anime for me. I mean, you know, Diabolik Lovers was really bad, and Dramatica Murder was also really bad, but neither of them could hold a candle to the absolute painful feelings that just racked my body when I watched, let me look at the name again, Shonen Hollywood Holly Stage for 49.
Oh, yeah.
What? It is supposed to be like a male idol show, and I just...
What?
Oh, it's so painful to watch that show. It's so painful because it goes along with, it's just cringy because you're watching it and you're watching them dance and do these really, really cliche little lines like, oh yes, I love you, or something like that. And I just, it's so bad, so cringy. Going through an episode is so painful. It is just the most painful experience. If you want to punish yourself, watch Shonen Hollywood, because oh my god, is it so bad. And they're coming out with a second season, which I don't understand. Why is it getting a second season? And why is Funimation releasing it? Why did Funimation think this was a good show? It is so bad.
Because Funimation likes to shovel crap. D&D.
So, Scarlett, you're worse for 2014.
I tend to avoid any anime that looks inherently bad. I just stick to like what looks good. So, I got nothing for worst anime. I just have like my one huge disappointment, Sailor Moon Crystal. Shame, shame, shame.
Okay.
She's kind of on the same page as I am.
All right. So, with that, Andrew, do you have are there a couple that you consider to be worst of the year?
Not really, because I have more that I can say in Andrew's place. Well, to finish that, okay, Sora No Method, that one was a girl returns to her hometown where she gets a spacecraft to fly above the town, which turns into a tourist attraction, and the alien's her best friend, but she forgets that who the alien is, and... It was weird. I didn't really catch on to it. It was kind of too slow for me. And then finally, Trinity 7, which is it had some redeeming qualities to it, and I watched all 12 episodes of this series, but it just wasn't that good. It was a harem, not great done. It's a guy going to an all-girls school that's all about magic. The only good thing that was about it was he broke the cliche
of the harem main character. Whereas there were scenes where, like, say he wakes up in bed and there are two naked girls in his bed with him. A girl comes into the room, catches him, gets all flustered. "Ooh, what are you doing, you pervert?" And then he goes, "Oh, I got an idea. Jump in bed with me." And that was the redeeming quality of that show. But that, and altogether, just it fell through so terribly.
Okay. All right. Is it all out of our system? Is all the badness out of our system right now?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Got all that rage that bubbled up during the year out.
Okay. That's good. So we're going to take another musical break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the awesome shows that we got to see this year. Each of our top five anime of 2014. But right now, I want to let Andrew and Jonathan introduce this song because of where it's from.
JoJo!
Yes.
Is this the Stardust Crusaders theme?
The end theme.
This is the end theme from Stardust Crusaders. From JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Want to get Egyptian?
That is right, yes. Scarlet.
That is right, Scarlet. Yes.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Awesome music video back in the 80s.
See, that was such a great ending for that show. Like, that was just such a good ending theme song for that. Like, it worked so perfectly.
Agreed.
I loved it.
Agreed. So, the Bengals with Walk Like an Egyptian.
Egyptian.
しくて知らとして忘れたつもりないけどやっぱりティンジャンってか聞こえてんじゃんそれ頭の中お花畑だとか少女漫画だとかもなんだってどうだっていいそう今すぐ君に会いたい君に会って確かめてみたい世界の断り愛の定義幸せのカテゴリーまだまだ君を知りたいこんなセリフからでもないけどどんなにかっこつけてたって始まりゃしない君じゃなきゃダメみたいになって気づいたところでさ明日も家の前通るわけだけどいや分かってんじゃんてか期待してんじゃんそれこの際噂話だとかご近所付き合いだとかもなりふり構ってらないそう確かに君しかいない君だけにはありのままいたい笑い転げたり朽ち垂れたり泣きべそ強かったりこの世でただ一人みたい自分でも笑っちゃうんですけど他の誰かじゃもう満たされやしない君じゃなきゃ意味がない
Masayoshi Uishi with the song Kimi Janakya Dame Mitai, the opening theme to the anime series Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun, which has been licensed by Sentai Filmworks. That's probably my honorable mention for Best Anime of 2014. Great anime comedy with fantastic characters and just goofy antics all around.
Very nice. So yeah, there were a lot of honorable mentions this season that didn't make my top five list for sure because there was a lot of good stuff to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
even more so than previous years, and that shocked me.
Yes. I know.
So let's ask you, Jonathan, for your top five. But you wanted to talk about a little bit of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, I did want to mention some of my honorable mentions. I really liked. First and foremost, I did a wicked fast on this one because it was a short anime, Robot Girl Z, which was a moe-fied version of the Mazinger Z series. It was brilliant, hilarious.
So funny.
So good.
So funny.
A show that I also never thought that I would ever watch is called Tribe Cool Crew. It is a children's show that came out this year, and it's still ongoing, and it's about street dancing. I thought that there had to be a hook to the show as to why they chose to do a show about street dancing, and what they decided to do was they did 3D motion capture for all the dancers, so there's actual dancing going on in the show.
That's
really
awesome.
Good. Also, a show that didn't make my top five list, but I really loved, Soul Eater Knot.
Yeah, that's my honorable mention this year, too, is Soul Eater Not.
Yeah, adorable version of Soul Eater for a look into the new students instead of looking at the professional Meisters. Really love Soul Eater Not. And another, finally, one that did not make my top five list was Denki Guy. Really good show, really funny, spin on working at a doujin shop in the Akihabara.
Yeah.
All right. And now, your top five.
Number five, Terraformers. Terraformers is the manime show of 2014.
It actually, if you don't mind me interjecting, it actually meets all the criteria for an actual manime, which is just so fantastic that we actually got a brand new manime to add to our list.
And our hardcore anime panel.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Terraformers, awesome. Loved it. Action was great, and the animation was good to boot. Number four. Parasite. Parasite is done by Madhouse. The animation is incredible. A perfect, great adaptation to the manga series from the 80s. Also, brilliant work on the person who played Migi. She's a 14-year-old beatboxer, and she did a great job playing the parasite within the main character. Number three, Supernatural Battles in Everyday Life, the trigger anime of this year. Oh, wait, what is there to say about Trigger? Trigger is the best animation studio in Japan right now. And I will take that to my grave.
Yeah.
Supernatural Battles for Everyday Life, it's a great harem and also a great slice of life.
You're making me forget stuff that I should have put on my list.
Absolutely. Number two, No Game, No Life. No Game, No Life was absolutely incredible. If you have ever wanted to see anybody go in super in-depth into the thought process of how to win at rock, paper, scissors, you got to watch No Game, No Life. It's about a brother and a sister who get teleported to this world where everything is decided by playing games. You challenge people to games. It could be any game. Like I said, rock, paper, scissors, all the way to poker, to a video game battle, to an actual sword fight, whatever you want. If it's a game, you can make a deal with it, and then a deal has to be honored by winning or losing the game. And my number one anime for 2014 is Shirobako. And Shirobako is it's probably one of the best animes I've ever seen, because it is what I want to do ultimately for a career. It is an anime about an anime studio. Now, I don't want to work in an anime studio in Japan per se, but I've worked in the setting of a studio.
You don't
want to
make 500 yen an hour?
Yeah, right. As an animator. No, I want to work in a studio creating something, and this show does not hold your hand. It just has you assume that you understand the animation process a little bit. In the later episodes, they start to explain stuff. Like when they go to meetings, they describe meetings on interviewing voice actors and how they pick music. And then they do the pipeline, which is the production assistant takes slides to the animators that they need to draw the key animations, to the in-betweeners, to the freelance people who pick up the animation that then goes to editing and filming. And oh my gosh, it's so amazing.
Now, I would like to interject, as somebody who has worked in a couple different animation studios, I have not seen it yet. Like, I haven't watched this yet, and it's in my Crunchyroll queue, but I haven't watched it. And I really, 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 really need to watch it, because a lot of people are saying this is their number one. But I really want to know, because having worked in animation studios and worked on animation products and being a part of that pipeline, I just actually still working in part of that pipeline. I just want to know how well they translated it over to. Apparently, it's super accurate.
So good. You feel the stress whenever they're about to reach a deadline. You feel the stress of the character saying, like, I really don't know if they're going to make this deadline. And it's so real. You feel what it's like to work in an animation studio, because it's just so accurate as to working in it. And Shirobako, go watch it. Free on Crunchyroll. Do it.
I've felt that stress for real.
Yeah. Me too. Video games. Not animation, but video games. Yeah. I've done.
All right. Sarah.
I'll just mention a couple of my honorable mentions. I have four. I really liked Book of Circus, the new Black Butler series. I didn't want to count it in my top five because, you know, it's a sequel, so I don't know if it's... Because it's weird to have something in the top five that's a sequel, at least for me, because it has to imply that you need to watch all the other ones. So, Book of Circus,
well,
and then...
Well, except, of course, up to, what was it, episode 14 of season one, and then if you forget about season two, exactly.
Yeah, just forget about all that. I also really like Zonkin of Terror. It was really pretty, and the music was amazing. Yoko Kanno, just, oh my god. And then I also, Shira Baka's on my honorable mentions, because I really am enjoying that so, so much. And then my last one is Shigatsu wa Kimi no Uso, or Your Lie in April, because it's just so pretty, and it's, for me, makes me emotional when I think about, you know, they're going to these competitions and playing, doing their music, the violin and the piano, and it reminds me when I was in high school and I went to competitions and I did music, and it's so accurate. So those are my four honorable mentions. My top five, number five is Barakamon. It's just so cute. And it's just, I just really enjoyed it. It made me feel good about myself while watching it. You know, it was funny and refreshing, and you just had fun.
That's a good description of it.
Yes.
I felt good about myself while watching it. That was the perfect description.
Yeah, you feel good about yourself. I don't know. It's just, I loved it. Number four was Ping Pong the Animation. I know the animation itself, the actual animation, is not the best. It's kind of ugly, not going to lie.
Jiggly Heaven. For all you Shirabako fans out there.
Yeah. Ba-doom, jiggly heaven. But I don't know. There's something about, it is a sports anime, but it's not really about sports. Yeah, they're playing ping pong, but it's more about the characters playing ping pong, which was really cool. Number three was Anari Konkon Koi Iraha, which I did a review of it, so you should go watch the review, and then you should watch the anime, because it's really, really good, and more people need to watch it. Nobody
watched it.
Is that
the one with the animals going, Kon! Kon!
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. None of those people watched it. not enough people watched it, and that really makes me sad, because it's so good, and it's very heartwarming, and it's a lot like Barakamon, where you feel good about yourself while watching it, and just not enough people watched it, and Funimation's only releasing its sub, which is kind of sad. It's only 10 episodes, I mean, like, come on. and then number two was Gekken Shoujo Nozaki-kun. Mm-hmm. It was just... so funny. It was so funny. It's my style of humor. That style of humor really makes me laugh. The parody of tropes and taking things and turning them on their head. So cleverly done. Like, I just loved it. Where's my second season? Second season, third season, four, five seasons. Give me more.
If Bakuman can get it, so should Genkin Shoujin Nozaki-kun.
I gotta admit, Sarah, I'm surprised that Free was not on your list.
Yeah, it's not. Because I don't, well, as I said, I don't like putting second seasons on top.
Oh, okay, lists. I gotcha.
Sure. So, and I did like Free, but as far as my number one anime, absolutely.
Does it have volleyball?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. What are you judging me that Haikyuu was my favorite anime of 2014?
I'm on Tumblr, and all I see is Haikyuu, 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 Haikyuu.
I've seen the whole anime from Sarah's Tumblr.
Yes. That's my point.
It's so good, though. It's so good. And before I watched Haikyuu, I didn't watch sports anime. I didn't give a shit about sports anime. Sports anime were the least interesting thing to me. But I kept seeing it on someone else's Tumblr, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give it a shot. And I swear to God, there was like six episodes out when I did that, and I marathoned them all in one night. I I would watch an episode, have to pause it, roll around on the floor because I was so giddy, and then go back to watching the episode. And that's not a lie. I did that. And I am not ashamed of it. Haikyuu is so much fun. It is, for me, it's perfect in almost every aspect. It's everything I want out of an anime. And, oh my god, I love it so much!
Now, Sarah, how would someone like me like Haikyuu?
Someone like you like Haikyuu.
Yeah. Do you not... like that one scene in Top Gun?
Think of it as, okay, so it's Haikyuu is a little bit different because it is like a shonen anime. Because, you know, it's like a shonen anime, but they don't fight, they have volleyball matches instead. So if you come at it from that perspective, it's the same things that you'd see in a shonen, just sports. And yeah, I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, you only like it because of, you know, da gay and da shipping and da yaois. And I wouldn't ship them if I didn't think they were cool characters and I didn't genuinely enjoy the show on its own, separate from that, okay? It is a good show on its own, and I will stick by that. It's amazing. 10 out of 10. Would bang all the characters. They're all my babies. And yes, if you do follow me on Tumblr, you will see Haikyuu. Like,
what am I going to do with all these
husbandos? Oh my god.
How can I hold all these husbandos?
That's how I feel about the world, God only knows, except it's waifus, so don't worry.
It's just so good, and it's funny. It's really funny, too. Like, there are just the humor in it is so refreshing. I loved it. Yeah, that's my top five.
All right. Jared.
All right. So for those who don't know, I used to review anime, and that made me start to hate anime with a passionate vengeance, and I have slowly but surely gotten myself more back into anime. Last year was kind of a beginning point. I'd go back to 2013 because of a little OVA called Pokemon The Origin. Actually initially got me into stuff. But since everyone else is doing the honorable mentions first, I'll do my honorable mentions. One, it technically came out in 2013, but it came out in the US in 2014, so I'm going to count it. Pokemon XY has actually been kind of fun, and I enjoyed it.
I love it.
It reminds me why I enjoyed watching the Pokemon cartoon to begin with. Just because it's so silly and fun, and you're just having adventures in this magical land. So I actually really do enjoy that series, and it's the first season I've really watched in a while that I really thoroughly enjoyed. Probably since the first early seasons of Diamond and Pearl, actually. Second one is because of a friend of mine will get all upset if I don't reference it, Nisekoi. A friend of mine is a huge fan of the manga. He watched the anime. He liked it. I have not watched Nisekoi, though I do like the idea of Yakuza kids having to fake having a relationship in order to keep the peace between the Yakuza. It's like Romeo and Juliet, except for they're trying to keep their families from killing each other.
I tried that one, and I fell off of it.
Yeah, and I can easily see that. My friend really has a love for the harems. And harems with a Z. It's like, you know, it's like the Ellies. Harems. And my third one, because it is so cheesy and stupid, and it probably should have made my list, but it didn't because it does partially offend me a little bit. Gundam Build Fighters Try.
I love Gundam Build Fighters. Now, I didn't watch Try, but Gundam Build Fighters is fantastic.
Hot moms.
Yeah, it has it restruck the hottest moms in animes. Like, because Riko, however you say her name, like, she's striking the internet like crazy, like wildfire.
Yeah, the show is pretty stupid, but I don't know. It's a weird mix of my brain. Part of me goes like, this is so dumb. This is Angelic Lair of Gundams. And then another half of me goes like, this is amazing. It's Angelic Lair with Gundams.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I don't know how to put it, but fine, it'll make the list. Now, for my main list, this is going to show how weird and diverse my tastes are. And, you know, just bear with me, folks, because I'm just getting back into anime. First on my list, I'm just going to give it to Book of Circus, Black Butler Season 3, or however we're counting this.
1.5.
I had to review Black Butler Season 1. I had to review Black Butler Season 2. I hate half of Black Butler Season 1 and all of Black Butler Season 2. There's one scene in Season 2 where they're like at whatever, the blonde kid's house,
and the two butlers are trying to compete with each other, just making food and just gardening and stuff, and I found that one part of that episode funny.
The only episode that I thought to be very entertaining in Book of Circus, not Book of Circus, in season two, was the making of episode of Black Butler.
The OVAs, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the OVAs had some fun moments too.
Yeah.
So I had to review that crap. So actually watching it where I'm like, oh, this is why I enjoyed this series. These characters are pretty cool. The action is fast, frenetic. Thank you. So because it renewed my faith in that franchise, that helps.
And I liked how they did the first episode. It was like a reminder of, okay, remember why? This is why Sebastian is such a badass.
My next one, because it's already been referenced on here, I'll bring it up next. JoJo. Loves me some JoJo. I love the manga. I've been loving the anime. It just keeps going. And the new season that started this year is, I think it started this year. New season started this year, right?
Yes. Eat it dark. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Oh, wait, hold on. I can just write. Yes, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love JoJo. It is so over the top, and I know it can turn some people off. I've even warned some people when I give them the recommendation. I'm like, you might get turned off at how like over the top and weird it is. Just roll with it. You'll love it.
No way.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Third on my list is old school awesomeness. It is Parasite. Dig this series. I forgot how much I loved this manga, which sadly I never finished the manga, just because it was back in the day when you actually had to buy manga, not like these now you modern kids with all your scans and what have you. Nah, I had to wait for Viz to release that crap. Yeah, that's, I think it was Viz.
Tokyo Pop earlier.
Yeah, Tokyo Pop. Oh, that's like the freaking Tokyo Pop and their crap translations. So yes. Stopped reading the manga at some point, watching the anime, going like, why did I stop reading this manga? I forgot how awesome this is. It's gory, it's funny, the characters are likable. Parasite, old schoolers will love it. I'm an old schooler, so that's how it rolls.
Disturbing, too.
Yes. And I have a coin flip between these two. So, and they're so divergently different. I'll do the serious one, the more serious series first, and then I'll do the sillier series second. My serious winner for this year is Unlimited Blade Works, the new Fate series. I love Fate. I'm a huge fan of the Type Moon universe. And this one, I was sitting there going like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I've been burned by Fate before. I mean, granted, Carnival Phantasm and Fate Collide are both fun. But I was like, I've been burned. The first series is bad. The Unlimited Blade Works movie had its own issues. I mean, okay, we'll give us... As soon as the opening begins, and I'm like, oh my god, that's the opening of the game. Hmm. Oh wow, they're really doing this for serious. Oh, I'm in. Let's go. And I just got like the little sparkles in my eyes. I'm like, yes, let's watch Shiro get killed and then resurrected. But killed first, at least. So I love that series. You don't have to be familiar with the game or anything else in the world to watch it. I would recommend maybe watching Zero. It'll give you spoilers for the series, but otherwise, if you're a fan of the Fate world and you haven't checked this out, check it out. Now, my less serious answer is a series that I should not like. Everything inside me knows I should hate this series, and yet I don't for some reason. Disc Wars Avengers. Follow me on this one, people.
Well,
kids
okay, because, let
get
me
these
tell you
stupid
something.
Digivices that suck Marvel characters into them and summon those Marvel characters to fight other Marvel characters. It is the stupidest thing ever made. I wanted to hate this so much. I wanted to hate this with fire and brimstone. And then every Marvel cameo you can freaking think of is in this. And I'm like, guys, did you research? This isn't one of those, here's the five popular Marvel characters series. This is a, oh, who else we got on the list there? You know, we haven't done Black Suit Spider-Man yet. Let's do Black Suit Spider-Man. Where's Ms. Marvel? Oh, yeah, so Ms. Marvel in there. Where's Captain Marvel? Marvel? Yeah, I'll throw his ass in there, too. You know what? The Guardians of the Galaxy movie just came out. Let's do a Guardians of the Galaxy two-parter. Sure, let's do that. Guardians of the Galaxy, come on in. It's everyone. It's not as much on the mutant side, unfortunately, but it's
you mean
Avengers
Deadpool's not in every episode?
Well,
no, Deadpool's not in every episode.
I was going to bring that up because there's the Deadpool episode. It's the only episode I've watched, and I found it to be funny as hell because it makes fun of how bad the show is.
Yes. The show is self-aware that it is basically a toy ad, and it's every kids have some sort of magical knick-knack and have to save the world alongside said magical knick-knack.
in the terms of like a Yu-Gi-Oh, a Pokemon, whatever, it's this is my MacGuffin that I will fight to save the world with. Shaman King, although I liked Shaman King, but whatever. It's exactly that kind of show. It's all your anime archetypes. I'm energetic kid. I'm cool guy who doesn't say much. I'm the girl. I'm the young guy who has the Hulk. Because young guy and Hulk, see, it's one of those things where like you wouldn't expect it. So all your four anime kid archetypes, they may as well all be using Metabots. I mean, they're freaking, this is the four archetypes. And it's just, the character designs are great. Sometimes silly, like Captain America looks like he's wearing like a RoboCop suit. I mean, it's not silver or anything. It's the Captain America colors, but he has like these bulky arm pads and this like really like heavy helmet. And I'm like, did they watch RoboCop and just think, hey, we just paint him red, white, and blue. He's Captain America. Close enough. You know, you got Wasp just being cute. You know, you just have everything you'd want. It's stupid. It's corny. You cannot take this seriously at all. If you are coming in and go like, this isn't following the comics, then I will hit you with a baseball bat over and over again. Of course it's not following the comics.
Nothing follows the comics.
Nothing follows the comics. Exactly. Even the best animated versions of certain comic storylines have not followed the comics. There's only like one that comes to mind that did a really, really good job of following the comic, and that's Batman Year One. I will give points to The Dark Knight Returns animated, but that's flawed because the original story was flawed, and we just look back at it and go, oh man, that was so good. And then if you reread Dark Knight Returns, you go, what the F?
Yeah.
Why does she have swastikas on her boobs? What is this? Yeah, so that one's flawed because the original source material is flawed. But those are the only two things I could think of that ever followed a comic really well for what it was. But yep, Disc Wars. No one was going to say it, so I said it.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, so for my honorable mentions before my top five, my thing goes Nozaki-kun. Just funny comedy altogether. Engage the Unidentified, that one really surprised me with its romantic comedy aspects of it. And not to mention, it actually had a little sister character that was hilarious rather than, you know, annoying. Because, you know, that's what always happens. I also have to go with Terror Resonance, a great drama series that really gets into the mind of how these two kids that are terrorists and why they do it. I thought that was a great series. Space Dandy, of course, a lot of the boobies and all that fun stuff. And not to mention, I loved how each episode was directed by somebody else, so it gave each episode its own visual style of sorts. So, all right. My top five, and you might disagree, some of you might disagree with me for my number five choice, I don't care, but I really enjoyed Akame ga Kill. I thought it was a great adaptation that did fairly well when it veered off from its original source material, and it gave a good closure to the series, not that sort of, like, closure that you saw in the Full Metal Alchemist movie, not the one that came after Brotherhood, the one that was, Conqueror Shambhala, but I liked it. I liked the characters in it from both Night Raid and the government, and I really hated seeing many of these characters die off, as each side thought they were doing what was, like, right. Not to mention, most of them were just really nice people in the long run. They just happened to be on different sides.
You'll be surprised by my list, then. All right. Keep going.
And I did like the fine mixture of comedy and tragedy. And I loved the action sequences in Akame ga Kill, especially when Akame got into her, you know, sword-slashing sort of battle mode of sorts. I really enjoyed the show. I know a lot of people were kind of turned off by it halfway through. I really liked it. And it was... Normally, I'm not into those sorts of series, but it just really spoke to me in some levels. I keep telling people, if you like what George R. R. Martin does with your likable characters, you'll enjoy Akame ga Kill. Now, number four for me has to be No Game, No Life. No Game, No Life was fantastic. Great character development, along with some very incredibly smart writing, especially when it goes into the thought process of the games. I know you spoke a lot about this, Jonathan, about how deep they go into just the game of rock, paper, scissors. I mean, that was brilliant with the show. I love the animation style. I mean, yeah, in some areas it got a little bit bright in some areas, but I just thought it was great. And it knew how to do the fan service right without seeming like they're throwing it in for the sake of a lazy attempt at erotic comedy. The only downside is it left you wanting more. It left me wanting to know all the other kingdoms.
Well, I think we're going to get that. I honestly think that, eventually.
Me too. I hope that either they make a second season or they license the light novels and bring them here to America. Mm. Now, number three on my list, I have to go with Barakamon. I mean, that was a great slice of life story that, on paper, it would sound boring. I mean, a calligraphy artist? Oh, how exciting could that be? It wound up being madly entertaining. Not to mention, it had some of the best voice acting, especially from the child actors. Mm-hmm. It brought that sort of realism that the only other time I could see this realism was in a host of the film. Some of the funniest moments in the anime this year, too. And what I liked, too, about it was that it was touching. You felt for these characters. And again, it has to do with that sort of realism that you don't see often in anime. Just fitting perfectly into this world of Barakamon. Okay, so for number two, I have to bring up my little prop here. And I have to give it to Gukune Kokori-san. This show, a Japanese-style comedy that, again, it sounds like it would be the type of show that only Japanese audiences would get. But then, out of nowhere, it's like Western-styled punchlines.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I thought the humor was really good.
Like, I think I'd laugh more at this series than anything else I watched in 2014, both animated and live action. I would say that Gukune Kokori-san was a better comedy than anything I've even seen in America do this in 2014. And they had the lovable characters, even the somewhat creepy ones, each having a very soft side to them that made their flaws kind of tolerable. And the thing that made it so strong was, like, unexpectedly, they pull out a heartfelt moment. I don't know if you saw the final episode of Kokori-san, the Christmas episode.
No, I actually, that was a series that I fell off of.
Oh yeah. My god, what they did with that final episode. It started, it's wholehearted laughing, and all of a sudden, it turns into, like, almost tear-inducing. Like, I don't want to spoil it because I want my listeners to watch this show. Honestly, Gukune Kokori-san is the only show that came out last year that I watched over again, that I did a repeat viewing of, because I loved it that much. But cool. It's not my pick for best anime of 2014 a year. That has to go to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders.
Yeah!
It just bleeds and screams badassery at every turn.
Manliness!
Adrenaline-pumping fight scenes wrapped around some pretty epic voice acting. And the poses! Yes, the poses! And it captured the intensity of the original manga beautifully. Not to mention, watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders has been proven to cure cancer. So I think that also is why people should watch it.
Well, duh.
But I'm hoping, I don't know what's going to be going on with the licensing here in America, because they dubbed the first three episodes, and I want them to dub more of them. I want them to release it here in America on Blu-ray so I could buy it.
You thought it was a good thing, but it was me! Dio!
Is there actually going to be a release date for the Blu-ray? Because I totally buy that.
Yes, exactly. All right, Andrew, your turn.
Okay, so real quick, my honorable mentions, Space Dandy, RoboGirl Z, Denki Guy, I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying, because that was a short anime,
yeah.
And like really, really close, that just very closely got bumped off my list, was Supernatural Powers by Studio Trigger. It's a Studio Trigger thing, it should be on my top list. But here we go. One that nobody mentioned at my number five was Maji Moji.
It's because nobody watched it.
That's right, because nobody watched it. And it was easily one of the cutest shows that I have seen this season. Just the cutest thing. It had its etchy moments, you know, main character's a pervert, everybody run from him. But like, all the characters were likable. It was really funny. And the art style was just great. It was a unique art style.
It was very unique.
The art style was not like anything. It was not a repeat art style. You know, it was something new. And it was cute. It was funny. I really, really recommend it. I hope it comes out on DVD because I just love Maji Moji. And I hope they get a season two because it's not over. Number four, Parasite. Number four is my Parasite.
Everybody seems to have it in a whole bunch of different places, and so mine is at number 4. I just love it. It just, the whole theme of humans being vermin and can be knocked off is just so gritty and crazy. And I know it's like the manga, I think from an 80s manga to a modern day anime, it was a beautiful translation. And Madhouse. Madhouse is probably my favorite animation studio in Japan. I absolutely love Madhouse. Anything they do, I'll watch. Number 3. Here you go. My number 3 was...
I totally agree.
Yes.
Madhouse is awesome.
So my number 3 is Akame ga Kill. So number 3, Akame ga Kill, because that was one of my shows this season where it would come out another week, and I would, that would be the first thing I do. Like, as soon as Akame ga Kill. Yeah, as soon as Akame ga Kill came out, I was like, I have to watch the next episode. And I didn't expect that to happen, but it did. And so that's why it ranked so highly on my list. It was just great.
For me, too, because, like, as soon as Akame ga Kill was done, I could pop in Kokori-san, because 30 minutes later, the show would put, come on.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so Akame ga Kill was just fantastic. I loved it. It was so fun to watch. Number 2, Terraformers. Number 2 is Terraformers because it's a new anime this season. I love it. It was so badass. Like, they were just such great characters. It was, I know that the manga explains a lot more and makes a lot of the parts a lot more touching, but I thought the anime picked and chose specific parts and specific portions of the story to play so that it still kind of felt really good.
Yeah.
And the characters, like, when you learned about them, you were just like, oh my gosh!
That boxing episode?
Oh! It was just, and the funny thing about the boxing episode, I knew what he was. I knew he was that shrimp. Like, because, it was just so cool. Yeah, so it follows the manime formula. If you're into manly stuff like me and Jonathan are, obviously. If you haven't watched our show. Definitely Terraformers, right to the top of the list. My number 1 anime this season is Barakamon. That is my number 1 because it was just the best show. Had to watch it every single day. When it was over, I was sad. When that show ended, I was sad because I didn't. It was like I had to leave the island too. You know, he didn't leave the island. He went back. He's fine. But I didn't get that connection anymore because the characters were so great. And so what I did was I went to seek out the manga. And when I went to go find them, I was like, oh, I found the manga. This is great. It went to the same spot as the anime. I was like, what the heck?
Like, so that really sucks. I'm glad I didn't read the manga then.
So I couldn't even read the manga to find out how... Well, because it's doing the chapters exactly as it is. So is the manga.
Is the manga still ongoing?
Yes, yeah,
it's still ongoing.
So at least you can continue the story. That's the one nice thing.
Definitely. And that
sucks when it catches up and you're like, all right. Oh, it's caught up. Damn it.
Yeah, that's right. And I do have to add a 6th one to my list because this is like not number 1 forever. It's like...
It's god tier.
It's god tier hyper anime, and that is JoJo. I mean, come on. It's like right there next... It's sitting like... right-hand man to Fist of the North Star. So it's just like, oh, hello, JoJo. Welcome to your forever seat in the manliness chair. You know, so...
It's a theme here, everyone.
oh, go nuts for anime. I love it. So good.
I need to get into anime. I think that'll increase my point of view on the whole series subject.
Well, if you need any help, Jonathan and I will bring you right to the shows that are manime. So just talk to us about it, no problem.
Well, especially with Violence Jack coming out.
Yes!
Oh, I'm going to do that.
I wrote it down on my calendar, too. It's like, right, I wrote it in pre-order Violence Jack, February 24th.
It's like your new holiday. Happy Violence Jack Day! Yeah.
Well, and I actually don't consider Violence Jack to be a manime. It's close, but it's not... It's kind of... the theming of it is a little different than manime, but... It's up there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Jared, just talk to us, me and Jonathan, about manime. We will give you everything you need to know.
Cool. All right. Well, and you guys finally, after the show. Last but not least,
absolutely.
Scarlet.
So, all right. Damn it. All right, let's go through like what I have here. These aren't in any particular order because there is quite a bit of overlap, but a couple of my honorable mentions. I have The Wind Rises. Technically, it was released last year in Japan, but yeah, it was released 2013 in Japan, but it got the U.S. release in 2014 to qualify for the 2014 Oscars. But it was a really sweet movie. It was different from what I was expecting it to be, but it's a really good one and it's worth checking out. If you love Ghibli, you'll love The Wind Rises.
Look at me. I'm Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm acting.
Oh, poor JPL. What happened to Treasure Planet?
Yeah, I also like Stanley Tucci because he plays this Italian aviator that shows up in this Japanese kid's dreams.
Yeah.
I just love that Werner Herzog's in the film.
Oh, yeah. Because I was watching an episode of The Simpsons he was in. I'm like, it's that German guy from The Wind Rises. I know that voice.
That's awesome.
Actually.
You know Werner Herzog once got shot during an interview and he just, like, waved it off?
He just pulled the bullet out, tossed it aside.
Like, no, like, go onto YouTube, type in Werner Herzog shot. You will see it actually happen. And then, like, an hour later, he just, like, shows, like, the wound. He's like, you're bleeding. I was like, oh, I'm fine.
He's a man of my character.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, if there's a real-life person who could be a JoJo character, Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
Okay, next on my honorable mentions, Poochie Moss. Poochie Moss is like the chibi adventures of all of the main Idolmaster characters. So I like it just for my comedy fun times. It's like 5-minute shorts where it just falls like this chibi adventures of like idols, and they're just doing this fun stuff, and it's so off the wall. That's like my happy anime. Another honorable mention: Happiness Charge Pretty Cure, because I do love me some Pretty Cure. Jared might have a dissenting opinion because it's a love triangle, but I thought it was wrapped up fairly packaged so we don't have to revisit it again. It was really interesting because we got to see Pretty Cure Mandel girls from around the world. So you got to see like the team in France, you got to see the American team that is based in Texas, Bomber Girls, hell yeah. And you also got to see the team that was based from Vice City. Okay, next one. Let's see, I think I can get into my top five. I have Fate Unlimited Blade Works. I was really looking forward to this anime because I had the original Fate Stay anime in like 10 years ago. And I was like, okay, I really like how this is starting up, but then it just turns into a cluster after episode 12. When I found out they were going to take the Rin and Archer arc, I'm like, hell yeah. Insert Archer joke here. number four.
Archer sexy.
Rin and Archer are about to go to the danger zone. Okay, number four, I have to agree with Sarah. I loved Haikyuu. And I have a little bit of bias.
Yes!
I have a bias today. I think you guys can appreciate the story. So I have a cousin, and he plays for championship competitive volleyball. He actually is he's in the NCAA Division I. For privacy's sake, I won't name what school he goes to. However, I do like giving out blackmail on family anyway. So it's funny because his team in high school, they were ranked state champions, and their colors were all orange and blue. And I'm just looking at his picture with like the two of his other teammates that also got signed into the same university. I'm like, oh my god, it's like the cast of Haikyuu in real life.
My high school.
And, I mean, it's not just that either. And apparently, I guess if Top Gun has taught me anything, is that homoeroticism in volleyball is totally a thing. Because like I'm going through his Instagram, he like goes through like all these really salacious sounding screen names, and so today I think of this week his Instagram screen name is White Privilege Worker 69. Anywho, let's see, and then he's just like posing like he and his buddies like in speedos and they're all expenses paid trip to Hawaii, and I'm like, what street guy does that?
a volleyball.
Like, here's a volleyball team, and we're all like wearing neon at the EDM concert. Hey,
I gotta show this to my girlfriend.
What could possibly go wrong?
So yeah, I just like Haikyuu because I'm like, oh my god, that's my cousin and his friends. They don't know they're gay, but I'm you guys.
They don't know they're gay yet. Oh my god.
Because I'm assuming that Evan doesn't post pictures of DJ Ranma in a Speedo when he his trip to Italy on his Instagram.
I don't think I would ever post anything like that.
Okay.
He might
have
the Fleming Brothers. So just, you never know.
Anywho, so like enough about gay volleyball anime, which is awesome. Okay. Number three, I have Parasite. I read the original manga when Tokyo Pop was releasing it. I do love me some really awesome horror anime, and it was very suspenseful, and I did like the animation. It was just, every year, like, there's always this one horror anime that always just pulls me in and just always leaves me wanting more. A couple years ago, it was another, but this one just really kept me guessing, and I really did enjoy it. Also, number two, should come as no surprise, JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. Hell yeah. I was just I marathon through anime series. I don't really watch it week per week, but on my trip to Las Vegas, when we were in the car, like, I was just marathoning through, like, the last 12 episodes of Stardust Crusaders, and here I am, like, on this desert journey, watching them going on their desert journey. I mean, what else can I say about Joe's Bizarre Adventures? I'm really hoping that we get, like, a full-on English release. Like, I saw the three episodes dubbed at Con. I want to see more, and I want, because I would just throw my money right at it.
And here's hoping that
you have no idea.
Yeah, sorry. Agreed.
Actually,
super underrated.
And actually, yeah. I, if I may interject for a sec, I don't care as much about the English dub being released as much as I care about, I hope they keep going, like, after Stardust Crusaders, you know,
all nine parts.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, like, I want all nine parts of it. Like, they did 1, 2, and 3, don't stop. Like, I want to keep going.
Yeah, because I'm actually just reading up ahead, because I'm just kind of like just skipping through, because I'm reading the Series 8 right now, only because I'm a huge Lydia fan, and there's a Bisway stand. And I like that the enemy stand is, like, named after one of the bands I really hate from my dad's generation. So I'm like, yes, my music will crush your music.
That's awesome.
I won't say that because I blackmail people. And my number one here, if you know me well enough, this should come as no surprise, Love Live! School Idol Festival. I'm a huge fan of the idols.
Yeah, I guess I did see that. Okay.
It was a really fun anime. I mean, it was a continuation of season one, but I think, like, everything was made available to the US on Hulu and streaming, like, around, like, early 2014, and it was, remember, like, during March, April, just kind of, like, just marathoning through season two from the entire series, and, like, it has alpacas, idols, costume changes, kiss. It was awesome. It's also a tearjerker, too, because there's just, especially when it gets to season two, because you have, like, the idols are like, in different grade levels, and when you see, like, the three girls, and they're graduating, like, I don't know if we're going to be a band after graduation, and you have all these feels, and
it's the graduation syndrome from, again.
So it's a really cute series. I mean, it might come off as Moe, and Moe really burned me as an anime fan from the past couple of years, but if you like enjoy going on an emotional roller coaster, and you'll eventually find your favorite idol of the nine girls. I'm glad it had, like, mass appeal with both male and female audiences, and I'm just ready to cosplay everything from Love Live! Anime.
Yes, those are some fantastic choices. Plenty of choices for our listeners to check out. Hopefully some of them may be new to anime, and hopefully some of these shows will help them jump right into it. So we're going to take one final break before we wrap things up. We are going to play the opening theme song to the show, No Game, No Life. And this is Konami Suzuki with the song This Game.
Yeah.
theme Unravel, performed by TK from Linktoast Segura. And I want to just quickly mention that back in 2007, my friend Pino from Japan told me about Linktoast Segura. And I was thinking, all right, they're a cool band, but they're never going to go anywhere. They're just going to be indie band. Now they're like doing like 3 or 4 anime theme songs a year. They're super huge. And I'm just very surprised at how popular they've become. So our final segment before we say goodbye is what we are looking forward to in 2015. I know we're already in 2015, but I figured there's a lot to cover here. So, Scarlett.
All right. So, 2015, I'm actually currently watching Idolmaster Cinderella Girls. It has a bit of a weak start, but I'm giving it a chance. I do like the one main girl's Rin, because she and I used to dress up the same way in high school. It's kind of a little bit nostalgic. Like, okay, I'm looking at an anime version of me. I'm also watching that stupid magical boy anime.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I know, right? I mean, it looks stupid, but I'm enjoying the ride. And let's see, anything else that I'm watching? Well, obviously, JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Egypt. I still have the Oingo Boingo Brothers song stuck in my head. Other stuff I'm looking forward to, just generally, just going to keep an open mind. I do... I am starting on a new anime called Bonjour. It's a cooking anime, and it looks really interesting. It's kind of like, it's all fun stuff, but yeah. Ow, my arm. Oh, and Go-Go Princess Pretty Cure. That's going to be fun.
All right, Jonathan.
Okay, prepare yourselves, because I got a list. I've already watched so much freaking anime this season. Death Parade is awesome. It's about... What happens to dead people when they go to purgatory before they go to heaven or hell? Assassination Classroom, good adaptation of a shonen manga. That one I'm kind of nervous about because I'm worried about where it's going to go. Who's going to watch JoJo? Yatten Knights so far is pretty cool. It's still too early to tell. Ninja Slayer is going to be the next Studio Trigger anime that's coming out, and I'm looking forward to that. Triad is going to be the fan service show to look out for because it's done by the person who did High School of the Dead. There's going to be an addition to RoboGirl Z Plus. Gangsta, which I'm pretty sure Sarah is the one who got me onto this. So I'm going to be looking at Digimon Adventure Tri. I'm going to be looking forward to because it's a continuation series of Digimon where all the kids are now in high school and they still have their monsters and they're going to still continue to save the world. But I got to say that my ultimate one so far this season is Rolling Girls. It's done by Wit Studios. Their last project was Attack on Titan, and their follow-up is amazing. Rolling Girls is about this new state that has been split up in Japan because they had these Japan wars, and they have these people who are bests, which represent each state, and they fight. And somebody had Fooly Cooly on the mind when they made the show because the fights in it are amazing, like so good, colorful, and the animation is amazing. But the show focuses on the people who are the best. They are the rest. They're the bystanders who watch these people fight and support them and literally get blown away by their attacks. That is their job. So good.
Cool. Sarah.
For me, the one I'm watching this season right now, the ones that are standouts from the winter is Assassination Classroom, because I have read the manga and I really enjoyed the manga. Death Parade, which is awesome, as John said. The Magical Boy anime, because it's so freaking funny, because it's basically just a parody, which is great. It knows exactly what it's parodying, and that makes it really hella entertaining. And then the upcoming ones, I'm really looking forward to Hibike Euphonium, which is the Kyoto Animation is a musical one, and the main character plays the euphonium. I played that instrument in high school, so I'm really looking forward to just seeing that. And if they don't have spit valve humor, then it's not going to be worth it. Because, gosh darn it, it's just a lot of fun. I can't wait. I really want to hope there's lots of inside jokes about, you know, instruments and stuff.
So long as it's also not like really spit valve fan service.
No, not spit valve. Oh, God. No. This is a mysterious Preference X. No. I'm really excited for that. one that, you know, yes, I did get you into Gangsta, because Gangsta's awesome, and everyone needs to read Gangsta. It's amazing. It's really good. It's just really interesting about, you know, people who have taken, who are descendants from people who took this drug, and now they have superpowers, kind of, not really superpowers, but they have heightened abilities, and it's got, like, social and political overtones, and, like, and racism, and it's just really interesting. And then I'm also looking forward to the new Mamoru Hosoda movie, Bakemono no Ko.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
How did we forget?
I know, I'm like, why hasn't no one mentioned this yet? which looks so good. I'm really excited, because everything Mamoru Hosoda does, I love. Can't wait.
I'm already crying.
Yeah.
And then I think the last one that I'm really excited about is Heroic Legend of Arslan, which is by the same mangaka as FMA, so that's just inherently sounds interesting to me. So yeah, those are the ones I'm excited about.
Awesome. Jared, are you still there?
I am.
Okay.
Okay, I have a handful of things here, since I just looked over the list, because I don't do show prep, apparently. Actually, I just didn't know we were going to do the 2015 stuff. So the first one, just because of possible doujinshi goodness, the disappearance of Nagato Yuki-chan. Yep, we get a hard, excuse me, a spinoff. I don't like doujinshis. I'm fine with that. Based on a manga series, which was told by one of my friends to read, a manga series that is a food-based one, Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma. This is the manga series where the guy actually puts the recipes for the things they're cooking in the manga, and they're going to animate this. Anything that's food anime is always awesome in my book. I'm a cook. I like to watch do cooking stuff. One that was recommended to me recently at a con, and I totally need to catch up with, is Gatchaman Crowds. And yes, I know I pronounced Gatchaman wrong. I always do.
That's how you pronounce it.
Okay, well, no, but at first I said Gatchaman, because that's how I usually pronounce it, Gatchaman. But Gatchaman Crowds, looking to check that one out. Also recommended to me recently, and I just haven't watched the first OVA of this yet, Ghost in the Shell Rise. Heck yeah, Ghost in the Shell. Loves me some Ghost in the Shell. Another one based on a manga that was recommended to me, so I'm hoping to check this out, is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up a Girl in a in the Dungeon?
Hey, that's on my list.
Yeah.
That's on my list.
This is a parody series, sort of like every dungeon crawler game ever, except for it's this guy who's trying to become badass because there's this amazing chick who's just like gone to the deepest level of the dungeon. So after getting his ass kicked by monsters and saved by her, he wants to become good so he can pick her up and, you know, be the man worthy of her. And then silliness happens along the way because it's a comedy series, more or less. And the final one, of course, everyone who knows me, everyone who's been to my panels knows, Lupin Sansei, hell's yes, new Lupin the Third series. Give me my blue jacket, I'm cosplaying it tomorrow at my next event I go to, which isn't tomorrow. Awesome. Someone give me a blue jacket, damn it.
All right, Andrew.
Okay, so with the ones that I'm currently watching right now, as I mentioned before, I'm shamelessly watching Isuka, the new ARMS anime. I'm going to keep watching it. I don't care what you think. And then I'm not watching a whole lot this season. The other one that I'm kind of going to pick up on is Cyanide Heroine, where it's a harem about a guy who's trying to create like an eroge
with a group of girls.
With a group of girls. So it seems kind of funny.
It's an eroge within an eroge.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm also looking forward to, let's take a look here. I have my list written down. I'm just trying to remember what they actually are. Oh, Kekkai Sensen, which is the new Bones anime. I'm expecting it to be wicked confusing because it's Bones, but it's about New Yorkers and superhumans and like demons that get released. So interested to see what that's going to be all about.
I spy a cat girl.
There is a cat girl anime coming out, so I'm going to be watching Etotama. It's just called Etotama. Cat girl main character. I'm going to check it out. I have to by principle. There's a short anime coming out called Domiger D, which is obviously a spinoff of every single kind of Mazinger Z, whatever.
Except it's cooking.
Except it's cooking. So,
I mean,
also, also looking forward to Digimon Adventure, Ninja Slayer, which is
Trigger.
The new Trigger anime. The second season of I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying is coming out. RoboGirl Z is continuing again. And, of course, at the very top of what I cannot wait for, also on my list, and believe it or not, we're going to be at Anime Boston when this comes out, so I actually wrote myself a reminder to get it, is the second Gargantia movie, Susei no Gargantia. One of my favorites now.
Is that because Gargantua on the Verdant Planet or whatever?
Yeah, on the planet, yep. They already came one of the movies already came out. It sticks right with the, oh my gosh, these girls are so adorable and the story is so good. So the second movie's coming out. I'm just so excited, can't wait. But we're going to be at Anime Boston, so my phone's going to be like, hey, go download it! But I'm going to be away. All
right.
So that's mostly that.
Okay, so my list. I'm looking forward to Momura Hosoda's The Boy and the Beast. Anything Hosoda, I will always watch. I'm looking... Here's one that I'm surprised no one said. The latest work of Rumiko Takahashi, Rinnei. That's finally being animated starting in April. I can't wait to see that. Gangsta, of course, thanks to Sarah for showing me that. The disappearance of Nagato Yuki-chan. I'm hoping it's going to be much better than what I had to deal with in Endless 8 in Suzumiya Haruhi no Yutsu.
It's a spinoff from the alternate universe from the movie.
Right. I'm looking forward to Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon. Just by the title alone, it just has me hooked.
It's a great manga, so I'm hoping they do justice of the anime.
And finally, the thing I can't wait for is the return of Gintama. That show is just hilarious on top of hilarious. One of the only anime series that I've ever seen that actually makes fun of current events in ways that sometimes it earns them a lot of controversy over in Japan. But it's worth it because it's always funny.
Gintama is like one of a few series where I'm like, skip the manga, just watch the anime. And it almost always comes down to comedy series because the manga for Gintama has some really slow, boring stories that just aren't fun. While the anime is always going to be amusing and parody-filled to an extreme. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I didn't see that on the list, but now I feel stupid that it's yes, because yes, more Gintama is always welcome. Yeah. I need my silver balls. I mean, soul. Damn it.
But,
I need your series, people.
The only show that I'm watching right now from winter is Yatterman Night. I'm a huge Yatterman fan, and I like this twist of now the bad guys are the good guys, and the good guys have lost their heroic ways. And as people know, I gave up on Yerikuma Arashi. I'm sorry, but lesbian bears, no more. I give up.
Ow!
You don't want to know!
My brain! I don't think about it bothers me.
You think, oh, it's from the director of Revolutionary Girl Utena. I must watch it. And then you watch it, and you're like, what the...
Lesbian bears.
I'm a bear. Put him in the insane asylum. I think he's lost his marbles.
He's done. Take him out of the cooker. He's done.
He is done. All right. On that note, that brings us to the conclusion of the Best of 2014 Anime Show. I want to thank Andrew and Jonathan from Wicked Anime, Sarah from 42's Anime Reviews, and Scarlett and Jared from Scarlet Rhapsody. Thank you guys for joining me on this episode.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, dude.
All right, so it's time to do some of our promos. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh for all your geek, anime, and tech stuff. Go to egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, and for all our other shows, check out the Electric Sisterhood Geek Aggro in the Issues program. I feel like the Micro Machines guy every time I do that promo.
I was thinking that too, that you would make an awesome blur from Transformers.
Use some of my fan scripts and you can be blur. It'll all work out great.
Alright, Scarlett, Jared, you go ahead and promote.
Alright, This has been Scarlett and Jared from Scarlett Rhapsody. You can follow us on Facebook, Scarlett Rhapsody. Be sure to tune in to our various podcasts. We have Zero Hour, the anime conventions podcast. We also have Secret Stage, the podcast that tells you everything about video games. And definitely check out our Twitch stream. And we also do anime convention reports on our website. So if you took your picture, we'll probably have it on our website. And do follow us on Twitter, at Scarlett Rhapsody. And if you want to follow our cosplay shenanigans, feel free to follow me at Eri Kagami Sos on Facebook. And you can follow Jared at Mr714 because he's from the real OC.
In addition to that, our Twitch channel for the Secret Stage podcast is twitch.tv/secretstage. Our Secret Stage Twitter is SR_secretstage. And you can always find me at Jared the Greek, because Greek mythology is awesome, especially when that's the translation of your last name.
Andrew and Jonathan.
Type in Wicked Anime in Google and you'll find us.
Nice. That was awesome.
No, okay. Okay, so if you guys want to maybe join our conversation, email us and we'll talk about you on our show. You can email us at WickedAnimeReviews@gmail.com. That's WickedAnimeReviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at Facebook.com/WickedAnime, where we update all of our news, videos, which they are finally coming out now, yay! And podcasts, whatever we find cool on the internet. You can also find tweet at us on Twitter, @YoWickedAnime. Just tweet at us, @YoWickedAnime. You can also find us on Tumblrs, where we tumble things, at WickedAnime.tumblr.com. And you can find us at thenerdyshow.com, of course, nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find both of our podcasts and our videos. You can also find our podcast at soundcloud.com/wickedanime, and on iTunes. And finally, last but not least, you can find us on youtube.com/wickedanimereview, our main hub for everything Wicked Anime.
Subscribe! All right, and speaking of subscribe, Sarah, go right on ahead.
So you can find me on YouTube, type in 42Believer, and I will pop up. You can find me on Twitter at 42Believer, Facebook at facebook.com/42ZaneReviews, Tumblr at 42Believer.tumblr.com, and also a lot of the anime we talked about you can find on Crunchyroll, and if you would like a 2-week free trial to Crunchyroll and all of the awesomeness that contains, you can go to crunchyroll.com/42Believer, and it will give you a free premium membership for 2 weeks. And it's no ads and 1080p, which is so much better. So yeah, there's that.
Yes,
I'm Jelly. She's got real promos.
Yeah, she's got totally real promos. And yes, we should make the note that most of the anime that we talked about, you can watch on Crunchyroll, and you can even watch on Hulu as well, because Viz and Funimation stuff appears on Hulu. So all right.
Unless you live outside the U.S., in which case you don't get Hulu. Sorry, sucks to suck.
Yeah. So, the final song that we're going to play today is Suemitsu Atsushi, who is the frontman of Suemitsu in the Sumith. This is the end theme to my little anime here with a Gukure Kokore song. This is this merry-go-round song. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Who wants to go?
Andrew from Wicked Anime. This is 42 Believer, bye.
Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
Scarlett from Scarlett Rhapsody.
And Jared from the Secret Stage podcast.
With a marinara jar.
Yes, food is awesome.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.